The first tweet that really caught my attention was Cherif saying that what caught his attention was that the realization that I had that Recast wasn't working with my students. And that addresses a lot more tweets and things that came up on EOT chat. I remember Marisin saying that Recasting was not the only way the communicative approach used as a correction method. And I agree, and I know she's right, but as a Brazilian teacher who was trained by Brazilian teachers, that's how I was taught. I was taught that you should never correct students in class explicitly, that you should always try to recast and just say, oh, so you went to the movies last night, as opposed to I go to the movies last night. So, yes, I know there are many, many other approaches, and I understand that there are different times during the class and different levels you should use each approach. But recasting was the one that stuck to me, and that became a plague in as far as I'm concerned. I realized recasting wasn't working when, I mean, after 20 years in class, you kind of start going like, yeah, students don't really notice that I'm correcting them. And then a tweet by Sandy Millen said, you know, she mentioned that learning doesn't happen unless we know it, which is something that Question said it. And they built it from there, and they said, you know, it happens, learning happens whether you know it or not. It just goes slower if you don't realize it. And I agree with that. The thing is, the students I have right now, they need to learn faster. They want to learn faster. So they need to realize that learning. They need to be forced onto, taking up action and being a very active agent of their own learning. As far as I'm concerned, Carrie Jones, she mentioned something very, very interesting. She said that recasting was really worth it on writing tasks, as far as you highlighted them and made sure that students understood, saw them and stuff like that. And I completely agree with them. I think that when you're talking about recasting as far as writing goes, it really works because the students have something to compare with, and it doesn't get mixed up. It doesn't get lost in the conversation. Something else that stood up to me was that Marisa asked, my students, they want me to explain every single grammar rule there is. Should I yell to them? No. You know what's best for your students. You should know, and, you know, you should... Well, really, you should know whether your students are ready for grammar explanations or not. More often than not, what I see is that students expect grammar explanations because that's the way they've been taught. As far as Brazil goes, students expect grammar explanations. And if you don't give them that, they feel like something is missing. But when my students, especially lower level ones, when my students ask for grammar explanations, so I was like, do you want to be an English teacher? Oh, no, I want... You don't need to know the rules. You just need to know how to use it. That's the whole idea. You have to break how the students... Somebody else mentioned that on ELT chat, and I can't really remember who, but somebody else mentioned that. It has to do with how the students were taught to learn. And I think it has a lot to do with that. So Christina picked up on something I said during the talk, which Christina Rebuffet Brothers said that perhaps it was worth the time to explain recasting to students. This was something that I found extremely useful with my students. We're talking about A1, A1 plus, A1, A2 minus students. And yes, I did find that extremely rewarding in the sense of they were like, oh, so you're correcting us. And they started paying more attention to that. Which brings me to a comment that Carrie Jones made. Carrie said, you know, when she was talking about oral recasting, and she said, you know, oral recasting really worked for me as between non-native speakers as in Spanish, because she lives in Spain. I mean, and what I can, you know, the first thing that comes to mind when she said that was like, you are a language teacher. You understand recasting. Because as a learner, I've been a learner of Spanish and French in Recife, in Brazil. And as a learner, I realized that I noticed recast a lot more than most of the students in my class. And I think that's due to me being a teacher and understanding that recast takes place and things like that. One of the tweets that came to my attention was from Adi. And he said that students often forget when they're being orally corrected. And there were a lot more tweets talking about how writing correction and writing recasting works a lot more or is more effective. And I agree with that. I think that writing recasting works a lot more effectively, especially because when you recast, you know, writing tasks, you highlight, it's a lot more obvious the difference between and what you, and what the student said you were saying, because it's there, it's written. One thing that Adi said that students often forget orally recasting, and they forget about being corrected orally, as opposed to writing recasting and being corrected in writing. I agree with that. I think that students, when you do recast in writing, students can actually refer back to what they said, refer back to what they wrote, and they can compare it better, as opposed to when you do the oral correction. They can't really, many times they can't remember what they said, and they can't remember how different what you said is exactly from what they said. Marissa mentioned how it sounded as if I had said that recasting was the only way to correct orally. As far as common, you know, communicative learning, teaching, the communicative approach went. I, after listening to what I said, I can agree with her. I don't think I gave enough importance to other methods of correcting. I do realize there are many other methods of correcting. I understand them. I use them in class. But, however, as a Brazilian teacher, being trained by Brazilian teachers, the recasting was the one method the trainers told us that we should use to correct students' oral performance, at least. And it doesn't work. Students, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, especially in lower levels, they don't notice they're being corrected. You know, Sandy Millen mentions that recasting should be part of the toolbox of correcting, but not be all of the correcting methodology or approach. And I agree with that. And I use that. My whole point with the talk was that I realized after I was observed by a couple of teachers that most teachers here in my region, in Brazil, in my school, they had been taught the same way I was. That recasting was the only way, and that we had to recast. Students would be ashamed, or, you know, they would avoid talking if they were corrected in any other way. And that's not true. Recasting does not work as effectively. Most students actually want to be corrected. Maybe not direct correction, but, you know, the different kinds of correction, echoing or meta language or something like that. But and fronting the correction, as it was mentioned on EOT chat, it also works. You know, do you mean? I do that a lot. You know, the whole, I don't know if that happens with other cultures, but in Brazil it's really hard for students to understand that you can't use your for a third person. So I've had students saying, oh, my mother, she traveled with your husband, and, you know, I go like, my husband, you know, the whole body language, intonation, that all works with them. It doesn't mean that it happens or it works with all cultures, but it works with mine, it works with my students, and I don't have to recast. Carrie mentions that recasting should be signposted and recognized by students, which is something that Christina also mentions. Maybe we should do some learner training. See, this is something that I'm actually quite positive form, because I've done learner training with my students on recasting. I said, here, this is a technique we use. We do this. Do you realize it? Not. Okay. And then, you know, after I do the learner training, even if I do reduce recasting, I still do it. When I do it, they stop and they think about it. Oh, okay, wait, she said something different. Wait, how was it different? Maybe it's more difficult for them or something, but it actually gets them thinking. My whole objective, you know, my main objective with the session was to raise awareness with teachers that maybe the way we were taught to correct oral performance is not the only way. Maybe the way we were taught to correct in is not the best way for the students we have right now, especially for more experienced teachers who have been trained, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago. You know, be critical thinkers. Understand your students. See your students. You know, something that I haven't mentioned that it's key to what I've been doing in my classes is before I do any kind of correction, I build a very strong rapport with my students. And students are okay with with my corrections when I correct them. Building a rapport is key. Understanding your students' emotional limits is key. Understanding your students' objectives and focus is key. Maybe personalization is the whole very basic core word here. But there isn't just one answer to how we should correct our students. There are many answers, but recasting is not as effective, it's not as proper or whatever as I have been told it was. Sandy Millen says that, it actually starts with Sharon Hartle. She says that we should focus on the aim of the task. And I so agree with that. One of the very first examples I give is an icebreaker. And Sandy actually, during ELT chat, Sandy Millen says, icebreakers, what I do with my students is I do icebreakers with common mistakes by the students, and then I do a grammar auction at the end of the week. Sandy has, as she mentioned, 20 hours a week with her students. I have 2.5 hours. I can't really afford to do that. I would love to, but I can't. And as far as Sharon Hartle goes, yes, I agree. If your focus is icebreaking, communicative, fluency, get the students to just start using the language, don't correct them. Don't correct them unless it's such an awful mistake that nobody else understands the student. So you correct them to make sure that he gets this message across, but otherwise, don't correct them. So Cherry, Marissa, and Kerry, I don't know who said it, but they mentioned that they remembered that I had mentioned during my presentation that I had focused on adult learners and mostly on A1 level. They questioned whether I had done any work on young learners regarding recasting. And so I have a few groups of young learners, and my impression is that young learners are exposed to so much English these days. They're exposed, their fluency is amazing, at least the ones in Brazil. Their fluency is amazing, they're exposed to so much learning, so much English as far as TV programs go, musics go, the video games and just everything. They're just exposed to so much learning that recasting would be absolutely useless on them. They have no idea when you recast on them. Adult learners, they're a bit more aware of their learning. They're a bit more scared, maybe, or concerned with their learning, that they would pick up recasting more often or more effectively. So I did focus on adult learners. One of the things that came up during the EOT chat was whether action research was the means to actually having valuable data to analyzing that. To be honest, I can't really tell whether what I have done is actually action research, because it just seems so natural. I recorded the students. I talked to them, I got feedback, I got, you know, other teachers to observe me. I understand that's not real valid research, but it's real. It's what I've been experiencing in my class, in my classes, and it's what the students have been telling me. I do understand, and up to a certain point, I think that, you know, thorough academic research would be very valuable, especially even to tell us, you know, you should rethink the way you correct your students or not. You should, you know, reflect upon your students and their objectives and their cultural backgrounds and so on before you start correcting them. But the action research, what I think of it, the action research I conducted in class really helped me, and it continues to help me, because the classes I have this semester are equally as happy. The whole thing about this session was to raise awareness and maybe get teachers to think about the way they correct, because sometimes we're taught to correct in one way, or, you know, and then we just settle into it, and, you know, we don't always think about it, and especially after a few years, things get old, students change, the way they learn change, and everything changes. And the whole idea of the session was to get, you know, to get teachers and teacher trainers to think and reevaluate and reflect upon their oral correction approaches or techniques, and to say, is that the most effective way? Is it not? Why not? Why is it? And so on. So I'm really glad it actually got so many people to think about it. I'm happy.